Good to be with the saints here again. My heart has been with you many times. As our plane landed, and I looked out the window and saw the island once again. Tears started to come to my eyes because I felt home. I've always enjoyed being with the saints here. And I just want to tell you I'm very glad that the Lord has allowed us to come back and be with you. Brother Marcos just sang a song, and I don't understand very much Espanol. I'm not very good with Spanish. But I understand, there's in the chorus, it talked about the house of our God. And I caught that much. I'm glad to be part of that house of the Lord. With the Lord here in His house. Yes. Brother Marcos talked to us before how the Lord led him here. And I'm grateful that this is where the Lord led me to. It shall be said that this man was born here. We had that new birth in Christ, yes. And this is home, the house of our Father. And I'm grateful that I believe that the Lord has children, He has sheep all over the world, lots of different places, and He calls to them, says, come to my house. He gathers us and leads us in truth and righteousness. And I thank the Lord for that this morning. I would like for us to begin over here in a verse in Psalms, I believe it's a 68th Psalm. And the 5th verse, Psalm 68 and 5. He said He would be a father to the fatherless. This is God saying this to us. Yes. Be a father to the fatherless, a judge to the widows. I want to tell you that God, in the Sunday school we had here this morning, talked about He has a kingdom. Amen. And in His kingdom, you know, the kingdoms of this earth, they've built monuments to their history and to who they are. The Mayan kingdom has built large monuments, large things that we can go and look at, structures, temples, and things that they have done. The Egyptian kingdom, they built big pyramids, lots of big structures that we can go and look at and remind us of what they used to be. Now, God is building some monuments too. We're not something that you can go out here and look at. They're not mountains that we can build. That's not what we're talking about. But He builds lives of righteousness. He has a house. He has a place that He calls us to. That we can feel at home. He builds a family. He's the Father. Oh, He loves His children this morning. He loves souls today. He's interested in saving people out of the kingdom of sin. He wants to translate them from that kingdom into the kingdom of righteousness. And He says to us today, I'll be your Father. I'll be the one that protects you. If you're a widow today and you need the Lord's protection, He says, I'll be that protector. I'll be your judge. Give your life to me. Invest in me this morning. That's what God says to us. And I'll be your father. I'll be your husband. I'll be the one that'll take you up and bury you this morning. I'll hold you up to today. Am I preaching too fast for the translation? I'm sorry. I forgot about being translated this morning. This is what the Lord offers to us though today. He said, I'll be your father. I'll be the judge of the widow. I'll be the one that will take your cause. That's what He's saying. The widows. In God, in His holy habitation. Then the 6th verse says, God sets the solitary in families. Now what this says to me, the solitary. You ever felt lonely? You ever felt alone? Solitary. I'm all alone. He said he takes that one and sets him in a home. In a family. I want to tell you here today, if you're out there and you feel like maybe your father and mother has set you aside, perhaps you're having to go alone in life. There's a God that'll take you up today. He said he wants to take you and give you a home. I've heard of places where there's gangs and people that a lot of young people gather together and they form a gang because they want to feel a certain amount of family. This says God's got a family for you. Don't need the gangs. Don't need the drugs. Don't need the alcohol. Don't need the sin. Come to God. He wants to set you in a family. He's got something for you today. Oh, I want to tell you, we have a Heavenly Father today that looks kindly, carefully upon His children. He's interested in taking broken lives, broken families. That sin maybe has isolated you. I don't know about you today, but I know what happened to me when I was walking in sin. There came a time when I was sick of who I had become. I was tired. Thank you very much. I thank you. I have one right back here I think I'll get. If you don't mind, I'll grab my water. I'm sorry. But I thank you. God has something for us, each one. And I think about in sin, when the devil can pull us out there and abuse us, and we feel, sometimes we can get to the place we feel like we have no worth or no value anymore. You can feel like that your life is wasted. And that's what sin does. I want to tell you today, that God looks on your life differently than what you look on your life. You may look like you're alone and wasted and worthless, but that's not what the Heavenly Father, that's not how He's looking at you today. He's looking at you and He says to us, give me your ashes. Give me your burnt out life. Give me your ruined state. Come and give it to me. And He said, I'll give you beauty for ashes. And I want to set you in a place of hope. I want to set you in a place of family. I want you to come here and feel my blessings. When I pour out my blessings upon the saints of God, I want you to be there. I want you to feel the joy of the Lord. When the sweet songs of Zion are floating above and the saints all rejoice in the Lord, I too can rejoice because He sanctified me. Don't you want that this morning? God has it for us. God has a place for the solitary man. For the one who feels alone. Oh, I want to talk to us this morning. God has something special for all of us. I look at these dear young children. 2 years ago, there was a young man here, Brother Eddie, had a little child, little son named Marion. And that little fella, I just loved. I held him and held him. And when we got ready to leave, out at the airport, I held him again. And I knew I was going to have to leave. Couldn't hardly turn him loose. These little children we have around here, they're special. God wants them. And I watched one of these little fellows a while ago. Some of these children, I saw them looking. One of them was looking over there at Brother Calvin. He had his hand raised in the air. And he wanted to raise his hand too. Folks, we're making an impact on those that are watching us. There's people watching us. God's got a home for all these children. He's got a home for these neighbors out here watching us. He's got a place He wants to. He calls. He loves them just as much as He loves you. He does. He wants them to be here. He wants them to be in Father's house. He wants them to experience the kingdom of righteousness. And as we live our life, God, help us to live it in such a way that when these little ones look on us, or when our neighbors look on us, they see Christ. And when they look at us, they want to raise their hand also. They want to say, me too. Me too. When they start hearing the sweet songs of Zion, where it talks about the soul being set free from sin, what I found in the Lord, the sweet joy of the Lord, they say, me too. I want it too. And they hear that, and the Lord's done that for me. So they raise their hand. The Lord has a place for us. He's got a home. He said, our God, God sets us solitary in families and brings out those which are bound with chains. You know what this is talking about? Let me remind you, there's a verse, there's a story in the Scripture. You remember the story about Legion? He was bound. Now, they had tried to bind him with chains so he wouldn't hurt himself. But the spirit of the devil was so strong in him that the physical chains couldn't even hold him. He was bound hard. Sin had him. The devils had him. This verse says, he came to take those that are bound and set them free. That's what this says. That means the neighbors that you may look on today and you see sin, you see them indulging in sin. Maybe they can't get free. God wants them to be free. He came, perhaps you're here today. Perhaps you're here today. And maybe you have sin that you're a slave to. And maybe you don't think you can get free. I want to tell you there's some good news in the gospel today. This Father, the Heavenly Father that we have, has set up a kingdom already here that we can come to Father's house and He sets the bound soul free today. Thank the Lord for that. Oh, thank the Lord. Oh, I look at our young people. You young ladies, I appreciate you, and I really want you to serve the Lord. I want you mean a lot. When you look at young ladies that get a hold of the Lord, get established in the things of righteousness, it encourages everyone else. Us older ones, as we grow old, I'm 53 years old. I'm not the oldest one here, I know, but I'm getting there. I've lived long enough that I'm at that grandpa stage. I've got some grandchildren. And I really appreciate you, young girl. I look at you, and I want you to serve the Lord so badly. I want that so much for you. I want you to serve the Lord. And when I see you growing in the things of the Lord, I am so happy because I'm at that stage and I know I'm going to go off the stage one of these days. I'm going to die. But I'm looking at you and I'm saying, oh, Lord, help these young folks. I want them to get established in righteousness. And you young ladies, the Lord has something special for you. He's got peace and righteousness and completeness and fulfillment in life. He has that for you and you young men. Listen to me right now, you young men. My heart goes with you. My heart longs for our young men. Because you mean so much. Our young ladies do too. But listen, young men. The world's looking at you. They're watching you. These young ladies need stable young men. These young ladies, God meant it that way. He set it up like this. He wants our young men to be pillars of righteousness. In every culture, wherever that is, Honduras or America, and today in America, I'm sorry to report to you, the devil's working hard to destroy the family. The devil's working hard to destroy this type of, and he's doing it here too, I'm sure. You know the reason why? Did you know he is trying to destroy the family? You know the reason why? Because that's a picture of what God wants to do with us. He wants to set you in His family. And if He can destroy in your mind what you understand as a family to be, it'll be hard for you to even understand this scripture we just read. God wants you to know that He's a loving Heavenly Father. And He sets people free. And He corrects His children with love and direction in life. He gives this to us for understanding that we aren't harmed. He doesn't want us to be harmed by sin. So the Lord corrects us. Now you young men, listen to me some more. The Lord wants you to be established in righteousness. Amen. Young men, give your heart to the Lord wholly and completely.
Amen.
And as I watch you young men develop in the ways of the Lord, let me tell you what it does to an older heart. I watch you, and with great joy and pleasure, I watch these young men developing in the Lord. Brother Calvin, you don't know how many times I've prayed for you. Some of the other young men here, you know, Brother Arden, I know you're not a young man anymore. But I prayed for you. You went through some affliction, and I prayed that the Lord will keep these brethren. Brother Marcos, I never thought you was a young man. But I prayed for it. When I've looked at, remembered the brethren down here. Oh, I said, Lord, help my brothers. Help them, Lord. Keep them faithful and true. It means so much. Families. Did you know if the father figure is gone from the home, do you know it hurts the rest? It really does. God intended for there be a loving, stable man in that home.
Amen.
That's what God intended for it to be that way.
Right.
You see the devil trying to destroy that all around us?
Right.
How many homes has he broken up?
Yes.
The reason why he does that, he knows he can hurt not only that couple, he hurts their children.
Right.
And their grandchildren.
Right.
And those that go beyond.
Yes.
He hurts the neighborhood when that happens.
Yes.
Don't allow the devil to get in your home. Let me talk to some of us married ones now. And that's, I'm one of those. Don't let the devil get in that home. Don't do it. There was a time when I was young that in my home, my grandparents, they had followed the Lord. I had a godly home. There was a godly family. The precious times we'd have together. Good family times together. But there was a time that the devil got in. And after the devil got in, it destroyed so very much in our home. I watched that when I was a child. I watched this happen. The times that we used to be able to get together and enjoy each other's company, the devil destroyed so much of that. And I mourned and I cried. It hurt us. Folks, it hurts the family. It hurts children. It destroys. It's worth fighting for. It's worth striving for. Oh, men, don't let the devil get advantage on you. Don't let the devil draw you aside with enticements. The devil's after the family. He wants to destroy it, but he wants you and I to be men of God, men of righteousness. As we live in this life, this community needs to see solid families with God in the center of that home. All men, put God as your head. Then I watched that happen in our home, and it destroyed so much. We had a lot of heartache, and that's over 30-some years ago now that happened. I've come now to the point, I got saved around 30 years ago. A little over now myself. Over 30 years ago, I was saved. And through me following the Lord, being established, growing in grace, growing in the knowledge of the Lord, me following the Lord also gave me a wonderful wife and family. And now I've got 4 adult children, and I've got 2 grandchildren. And we were together as a family one time, not very long ago. We're having such a wonderful time there together as a family. Just good godly things that we do together. Just being a family. And I said to the children, this is valuable. And it is. It's very valuable to have that loving home. Where the children feel secure and there's hope and there's godliness and you don't have this feeling of guilt. Thank the Lord for that if you have that. Thank the Lord for that. But I want to tell you the devil wants to get a hold of that. I told the children that. I said, children, what we have is very valuable. Don't let the devil in. Don't let the devil destroy it. Because what he wants to do is destroy that generation. It's taken over 30 years for us to build again what the devil destroyed years ago. But it's worth striving for. Don't let the devil get advantage of you. Oh, young men, the devil has his arrows pointed at you especially. He wants to destroy if he can. The devil will do all he can to destroy. But the Lord has something for you. You don't have to fail. You don't have to fall under the temptations of the devil. You can be victorious this morning. And I want to turn over here now into Ephesians. Ephesians, the third chapter. I want to talk about here in the eighth verse. At the latter part of that eighth verse, it talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Ephesians, the third chapter and the eighth verse. It says, "Unto me who am..." This is Paul now talking. He's looking at himself, and he said that this was given to him. This grace of the Lord was given to him. "Unto me who am less than the least of all the saints." You know, one of the things in the body of Christ, one of the things in the Father's house, there's no big I's or little U's. We're all His children. And Paul looked at himself as being less than the least of all saints. "In this grace was given me that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." I want to talk to you a little bit now about these unsearchable riches. Part of what we were talking about home and family, and some of these blessings that we can have, this comes through the avenue. This is some of the riches of Christ that we reap. When we follow the Lord, there's benefits to it. Amen. There's some riches in following. There's some riches in doing it right. Yes. Young men, there's a lot of things you can put your time and attention toward. There's a lot of things you can follow after out there. But I want to tell you, there are some things that's going to reap up that will cost, it'll have a great price that it will exact from you. It'll cost you more than what you want to pay. There are some things out there that's not worth getting involved with. But there are some things that you can get involved with that reap a great benefit. Godliness and righteousness. And doing it right. Doing it according to righteousness. It will reap great benefits. And this talks about unsearchable riches of Christ. This means there's greater riches in right now than you can perceive. You can't fully understand how the blessings, how great the blessings of the Lord will be. Follow after Him. Continue to follow. And you're going to start reaping the blessings of the Lord. Don't think right now about the blessings of the Lord as being a lot of money. Because that's generally, most of the time, money can be a snare.
That's right.
But there's a blessing of the Lord that talks about peace in our soul.
That's right.
The joy of the Lord in our heart.
Yeah.
A cleanness in your soul. When you lay down at night, you have no guilt on your heart.
Yeah.
And you can sleep as a peaceful baby because all is well. Those are riches. And then as you follow the Lord and put in practice righteousness in your life, you young men, the Lord will probably give you a good wife. And He'll give you a good children. These are all blessings. These are riches. These are riches of the Lord. These are some of His blessings. You follow on and then you can have a good home, a good children, good family, good grandchildren. And I'm at that stage now as I'm looking at my grandchildren, watching them develop. And I'm watching them. I want them to get a hold of the Lord too. And when I see them maybe displaying some attitudes that I think, oh, if that keeps on, it's going to cause them trouble in life. I want to train them. I'm grandpa. I want them to have it too. I want another generation. And I want this generation. These that are here today, I look at our young folks, and I want this generation to get a hold of it. I want you to know what I've had. I want you to know what I have. I want you to enjoy the riches of Christ. Talks about the unsearchable riches. We follow on as we go with the Lord. There's going to be blessings upon blessings as we go in life. And again, don't measure the blessings by wealth. Don't measure it by what you accumulate in life. Measure it by the sweetness of righteousness that the Lord has given you in your heart. Now, let's drop on down. Talks about according, maybe in the 11th verse, according to the eternal purpose which He has purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Lord has purposed these things for us. In other words, He has designed these type of blessings for us. It was His purpose to bring us to godliness, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of Him. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not, my brethren. Think about this fainting. Faint not. There's a lot of times, especially in the world that we live in today, we can feel almost worn. We can feel like we're tired. I know we've probably all experienced the disappointment of when somebody we knew and loved turned around and went backwards. We call it backslid. We hear somebody backslid. You know what that means? How does that make you feel when somebody that you knew and used to worship the Lord, how does that make you feel? You feel terrible, doesn't it? You feel brokenhearted. This says, I desire that you faint not. Now, it happens here and it happens in America. It happens everywhere. There are people that lose sight of the Lord. And there are people that turn back. But I want to encourage you, as this scripture says, don't faint. You don't quit. You don't quit. Don't let the devil take advantage of you. Because those people, there may be a day they get sick of what they're doing. And they may want to come back home. And God wants you and I to be faithful right here. That when they get tired of sin, they've got a home to come back to. Now the Lord can save them. He can be the Father to them wherever they are. But God wants them to be able to have encouragement of being together with other saints. So I want to encourage us not to faint in the struggle. Don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season you'll reap if you faint not. You're going to receive a crown of glory. There's a reward for being faithful. These unsearchable riches of Christ, if you're faithful to the Lord. As we are faithful to the Lord and follow on, some of these unsearchable riches of Christ show up in just the peace and joy of the Lord in your life. And again, as I mentioned a while ago, some of the unsearchable riches of Christ, as you grow, you can have a family. And it's sweet. Brother Marcos, it's sweet to have a family, isn't it? It's wonderful to have children and watch them grow. And then you get to my stage, I start looking at these younger ones. And I said, Lord, help them. And I remember when I was holding Marion. He said Myron was now, Marion is the way he called. When I was holding that little boy 2 years ago, I began to cry and I was praying as I held him. And I said, Lord, help this little fella grow up to know you. Yes. If you see me holding your child, I may be holding him and praying for him. Praise the Lord. I want these children to know Christ. Yes. Don't be weary. Don't faint. Yes, right. Don't be weary in well-doing. Amen. Don't quit. Though 1,000 may fall by one side, you don't have to. You can be true and faithful, brothers and sisters. The Lord takes a solitary. He takes those who feel like you're alone. Maybe I'm the last one standing. Brother Doug read a scripture to us over there in Hebrews this morning. But it was recounting a story in the Old Testament where Elijah The Lord had blessed him richly at a place. You remember the time when he challenged the children of Israel. He said, "Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve these false gods? Or are you going to serve God?" He said, "Choose today who you'll serve. If Dagon's God, if he's God, then serve him. But if this is God, you serve the God of heaven." Remember, he challenged them like that? And then he gave the prophets of Baal. He gave them an altar. And he said, "You all take that calf and you butcher it and you put it out there as a sacrifice to your God. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God." And they said, "That's right. That'll be good enough for us." And the prophets of Baal, they prayed loud and long. And they prayed, and nothing happened. And they jumped and they cut themselves. And Elijah said, "Holler a little louder. Maybe he's asleep." But there is a God that does answer. And I want you to notice when Elijah went over there, when he began to pray, he said, "First, put enough water on here that you know there wasn't just some fire that I hid up underneath here. I want them to know this was God that did it." He dumped a barrel and a barrel and a barrel and kept dumping water on this thing until it was thoroughly drenched. And then he just simply and quietly knelt down before God and said, "Lord, I ask that you'll come and show yourself to these people." And the Lord of heaven sent fire in the sight of all those people. Wonderful victory. And the children of Israel said, "Let go. This is God. He's God." And they chose to follow the Lord. In a few short days, we find Elijah, whom the Lord worked through mightily. We find him running for his life because the queen was angry. And she said, "I want you to tell Elijah if by this time tomorrow, if he's not dead," she's had some sort of curse against herself was going to happen. I don't think it ever. She never carried that out against herself. But she let Elijah say, she said, "I'm going to kill him." Elijah heard the news and he took off running. And he felt like he was the last man standing. You ever felt that way? I want to ask you today, if you're the last man standing in this chapel, are you still going to stand? Brother Audlin, you're going to stand. Brothers, you're going to stand. If you're the last one, you're not alone, brothers. You're not alone. Elijah wasn't alone, though he thought he was. Here he was hiding. And God came along and said, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" He said, "I'm the last one and they're chasing me. They're trying to kill me." The Lord said, "I've got a lot more than what you don't even know about. You think there's more on this island that the Lord has? There's people the Lord wants to save. There's other people the Lord wants to draw. There's some more Brother Marcos is around probably that loves the Lord, reading their Bible, saying, 'Lord, where are these people?'" You going to stand? Don't faint. Don't faint. God has a home. Our Heavenly Father wants to gather all these people. He wants to gather us in righteousness and truth and glory. And establish us in righteousness. Hold us together as His dear children. Don't faint, brothers. Now, you will more than likely, as you go through life, you're going to experience places and times that you feel like it. You might be the last one. You might feel just like Elijah that said, "Lord, let me die. I'm the last one here." He wanted to die. That's what he wanted to do. He said, "I'm tired. They're after me. Just go ahead and take me, Lord." Lord said, "I'm not through with you. I got a job for you." Get up from there. Before he told him to go, you know what the Lord did for him? He fed him. He did. Listen now. Lord said, "I got a big job for you. The way's too great for you. I'm going to feed you." He gave him a food and he let him sleep. And he came and woke him again and said, I got another meal for you. Now let me tell you a little bit. You ever heard of salvation and sanctification? You ever heard of Him forgiving souls and also giving His Holy Spirit to people?
Praise the Lord.
You heard of the Word and the Spirit? You ever heard of two meals?
Yes.
The Lord fed him twice.
That's right.
Yes. The Lord filled him. Now, I don't want to make too much of the story, but I want to tell you, God has both of those for us today.
Yeah.
Amen. He has His Word that He wants to give you.
Yes.
And He has His Holy Spirit that He wants to dwell in our hearts.
Right.
He wants to strengthen you and settle us and cause us that in this present day, when maybe others may walk away, that He makes us steadfast and faithful.
Amen.
That we faint not. God knows that the way is long. God knows that the path, it's too much for us, but He feeds us. He woke him up. First He gave him one meal and he went back to sleep. Sometimes there are people that maybe you're saved and maybe you don't even know about the Holy Spirit. That happened back in the early morning church, back in the Bible time. There were some people that were saved under the preaching of John the Baptist. Remember that? They were saved walking with the Lord. Brother Paul came across them. And they were having some good talks about the Lord. And he said, have you received the Holy Spirit? He wanted to know, have you received? And they said, we don't know. He said, well, who were you baptized? Under the baptism of John. Oh, he said, there's more. Let me tell you about the Holy Spirit. He came for you. You know why he wanted them to know that? Because God awakened them again.
Right.
He wakens us to another need.
Right.
You might be here saved today, walking with the Lord. And if you don't know, haven't understood that you need also the Holy Spirit to empower and strengthen you, may the Lord awaken you today.
Right.
Because the Lord has some more food for you.
That's right.
Has another meal.
Right.
Has something to help and strengthen you with. Because the battle was long. The road's a long ways. This other meal, it's just simply the indwelling of His precious Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He wants to come and live in your heart.
Amen.
And as He gets there and as He works there, do you know what He does? He cleanses.
Amen.
He will take and correct children. We take our little children and we watch them as they grow, don't we? And we teach them and we train them and we correct them. Why do we do that? Because we love them and we want them to grow up and to be good, right people. That's what He does for us. That's what the Lord does for His little children. We get saved. We're newborn babes in Christ. And He wants to give us His Holy Spirit to teach and lie and lead and cause us to grow and feed us and help us to understand the Scripture. He wants to open the Scriptures to our understanding. It's the purpose of His Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Let me tell you, He's called the Holy Spirit. The reason why He's called the Holy Spirit is because He's holy.
That's right.
Do you know what kind of spirit is in man? The original spirit that's in man is a corrupt spirit.
That's right.
It's corrupt. It's evil. It seeks after evil. That's the spirit of the flesh. And the Lord came to replace that old evil spirit with a holy spirit and give you right thinking, correct, holy thinking to give you power over the devil. I want to encourage us to not faint. I want to encourage you today to be faithful and true. Oh, we have a lot more scriptures, and I'm sure we won't be able to cover it right now. Maybe the Lord will let us have some of this a little later on. Well, let's go ahead and read one more scripture. Over here in Timothy. When I'm thinking about us not fainting, thinking about us being faithful, thinking about people watching us.
Yes.
Over here. In 2 Timothy. No, it's 1 Timothy. The 4th chapter. I believe. It's not. It's not. My eyes aren't falling on it. It's where Paul was talking to Timothy and he said, "Be thou an example." 6th. I was looking at it, couldn't see it. "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister." He's talking to a young minister named Timothy. "You'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of doctrine, and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained, but refuse profane." And is this verse 12? That's where I'm. There it is. That's what I'm looking for. And then it goes on down with that. It's good counsel up above there. But it goes on down to the part I really want to get to. He says, "Let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of the believers." I want, again, connecting with we have these young children looking to us. We have these young people looking up to us. We have people in our neighborhood looking toward us. And they're expecting something out of us. Don't be weary. Don't faint. Be faithful. Be true. Be an example. He said, young man, he's talking to young man Timothy, his young minister. He said, "Timothy, you be faithful. Let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word," the way you speak, the way you converse. You know how we have conversation? Did you know we can have conversation without words at all? We can. If I dressed in such a way that revealed a lot of me, what would it say to you? It would say something. You would begin to say, if I came down here and acted like that, and you would say, "Brother Ivan's changed."
Amen.
Say, "I don't know. How's it?" You may go step over to Brother Doug and say, "Brother Doug, how's Brother Ivan doing? Is he doing all right in his soul?" The reason why you'd ask him, because what I would be doing and the way I would be presenting myself would be saying something to you. We say something to each other by the way we act, by the way I dress, by the things I do. We say something. And this says, let your conversation be an example. An example of righteousness. So Lord, help us today. In this our day, in this generation, some of us older ones, we'll be passing off the scene before long. But we want the younger ones to have a path of righteousness set before them. That's a good, safe path. That if they walk in that path, that they'll find God, they'll find Christ, and they'll find Him sweet to their soul. And they'll find Him a father in their life. They'll find Him a haven. Protecting haven. You know what I'm talking about? When I say, hey, he'll be a place of protection for the soul.
Amen.
Be an example, young men. Oh, young men, this morning. I know this was talking to a young man, Timothy. I want to talk to you all this morning, just a little bit right here. This goes to everyone here, but especially I want to say a little bit to our young men right now. Oh, be an example in godliness. Be an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, the type of spirit that you portray, in faith, in purity. All these things put in practice. Purity, young men. Example in word, in conversation, in charity. This idea about charity has to do with love. You know, if I go to a person and I treat them badly, there's nothing I can't help them then because I've hurt them. So he asks us to be an example in love. Maybe there are people that we look at and say, well, they don't deserve love. But God loves them.
Amen.
And He wants you and I to love them.
That's right.
Let me tell you today, there would have been a day that if you'd have looked how I was acting, you'd have probably said He doesn't deserve love.
Amen.
But God loved me.
That's right.
He loved me enough to break up an old stony heart.
That's right.
And He wants you and I now to be also an example of charity, of godly love. As we reach out to some broken people out there. There are broken hearts out there. There's broken lives. There's broken homes. There's destroyed people out there. And God wants you and I to be that example. Young men, be an example. Be an example for the young ladies to admire. I said that. Be an example for the young ladies to admire. You know, he wants you to be that type of example that they can look at you and see you and say, when they're having their little conversations over in the corner, you know, the girls are talking, they may talk about you and say, he's a nice man. I see God. It's all right to chuckle a little bit, but it's true. It's true, young men. Be an example.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Be something that,
right,
not the young ladies only, but when older people like me look on you. Amen. And when we get over talking about you young folks, we're over in the corner saying, did you notice that, brother? He's coming along, isn't he?
Amen.
Looks like he's getting a hold.
Yes,
yes, brother.
Amen.
Yes, we've been watching him.
Yeah.
I see that happening. Oh, I like what I see. A lot of you folks down here, a lot of folks don't know Brother Marty Clevenger up in the States. He's another minister about my age. And we've done a lot of ministering, traveling in the ministry together. And he had a young son that we spent a lot of time together, so I got to know him pretty well. And there was a time in that young man's life, I was a little doubtful of how he was going to turn out. We're praying for him.
Amen.
And then there came a time when I saw him turn. Saw him turn the right way.
Amen.
And I came over later on to Brother Marty about a year after that. And I said, Brother Marty, I said, I sure like what I'm seeing out of your son. We talk about you, young folks.
Amen.
You know the reason why? We're praying for you.
Yeah.
We want you to make it. We want you to make it. Oh, be an example.
That's right.
Be an example, young men. Young ladies, you too. I didn't leave the couples out of it either. Couples. Grandparents. Older ones. Be an example. And don't be weary in well-doing. Don't faint. Don't give up. When the devil tries to make you feel all alone, don't quit. Just about time, maybe the Lord's going to break it loose.
Amen.
There might be a whole lot of people come.
Yeah.
Lord had Elijah, had a job for him to do. When he felt like he was all alone, he said, oh. The Lord fed him. Lord gave him a double portion and then sent him on. Gave him, he was supposed to anoint some kings. He went, anointed a fellow. He said, you're going to be the next king.
Amen.
Anointed another young man who was going to be a prophet in the come behind Elijah. It was Elisha. Remember that? Lord's got a job for you. And He still has 7,000 out there that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. There's other folks out there. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us be that example. That when they're looking, they can look on you and say, I believe I'm home. I believe I'm home. Maybe they could. When I flew in over here and I just looked at the island, looked at the people, I felt home.
Amen.
God, what's them? Yes. Maybe they're wandering around out there looking for home.
Amen.
But if they could just see us from a distance. There was a man one time I met on an airplane. The Lord fixed it so we couldn't take off. He made us wait on that airplane 3 hours. The Lord did this. The man was flying back to Russia. He spoke an English that was hard to understand. But as we were talking, we got to talking about the things of the Lord. And he told me how he got saved. And I want to tell you, when we was over with, we both felt like brothers. We were brothers. We were. And he left, put out his hand, and I shook it, and he pulled me to him. Put his big old arms around me, and he said, "My brother."
Amen.
And I said, "My brother," back to him. Because we were two brethren that had the same father.
Amen.
We were home.
Yes.
You know, there's other people out there they'd like to see home. They'd like to see it.
Praise the Lord.
Be thou an example. Don't be weary. Don't quit. The Father of Heaven has a home. And if you in your heart today, you're not home. Maybe you need help in your soul. Maybe today you feel the need, the hunger. Maybe you want to be part of this. If you want to come home, God says, come on home. God has salvation for you. He'll give you a new life. He'll give you purpose and direction in life. So I want to encourage you today, if you have that need in your soul, please come. May the Lord bless you. May we stand and have a song.